Okay, this is my favorite time of year. It's not quite spring or winter, it's somewhere in between. It's too wet to camp, too dry to ski. People stay inside, and I'm always grateful for that. I've had a lot of people express concern about outdoor sports. It's a fair question. Are we really safe out there? I want advice. How do they keep their loved ones safe? I tell them I don't know. How do they avoid the stairs? I don't know. I really don't. It's frustrating to have nothing to offer, you know? If I knew how to keep everyone safe, I'd have solved, arguably, one of our biggest problems in this country. And the only thing I can stress are what anybody else does. Don't go alone. Carry a GPS locator, a phone. Be prepared for anything. And there's no pattern for this kind of thing, right? At least not that I can see. I mean, there's commonalities, sure, but everyone's experience is different. Winter's quiet, mostly. But sometimes we're so overwhelmed, it's all we can do to tread water. These are some of the things I've dealt with in the past. Oh, a buddy of mine up at Crater Lake remembers the disappearance of a young man there about 20 years ago. Never found. And this past winter, calls me to ask for advice on a new, eerily similar case. Jack B., his wife, and two children are snowshoeing in a very, very well-marked trail. He was in the lead, the wife behind. That's what we know. The wife says he crested a small hill, she lost sight of him for less than a second, and in that time, he fell off the face of the earth. His tracks ended in the middle of the trail. There was nowhere for that man to go, and yet, in a literal blink of an eye, he was gone. They've been searching for him again now that the snowpack is melting, but I'm sure that they won't find him. That area's wrong. Something about the way the wind sounds. About 4 years ago, a new recruit came to our park to do an internship with one of the senior rangers. He was a really nice kid. His name was Darren, I think. He actually got really lucky, timing-wise. A lady had a diabetic crash, and we had to help her get out of a tricky area. And Darren was so hyped up about it. He was one of those guys... one of those guys who you know is just going to do great. He's friendly, loves the job. He's everything you look for in a ranger, but Darren had a problem with listening because Darren was a devout Catholic who believed that the Lord would save him from any danger. And Darren didn't believe that what we'd seen was anything to be frightened of. The only part that we found of Darren 2 years after he vanished during a routine trail walk were a quarter-inch thick slice of his left thigh and the cap of his skull. Very early on in my career, I used to have this thing with kids who vanished. So it broke me up really bad. I was always the first guy to volunteer. I couldn't stand the thought of another kid growing up alone with that kind of burden on them, you know. That invisible second life. And I had a very good track record. I had this kind of sense that almost always led me in the right direction. So I started getting called out to the other parks to help in search and rescue groups. And one of the ones I brought back was a little girl who was skiing up at a popular resort, the one that I was familiar with. I still remember her name, actually. It was Anna. Her dad, John H., was on ski patrol. I'd met him a few times. He was absolutely wrecked by the whole thing. It was a familiar story, right? We'd been watching her ski down one of those easier slopes, following along behind. He lost sight of her for just a second and poof. She was gone. I happened to be in the area during that time, so of course I went to help him out, but by that point, she'd only been gone maybe half the day, so I was confident we'd be able to bring her back by nightfall. We split up to cover more ground, and I went into an area that I know is full of really large boulders and cliff faces. Sometimes you find kids in places like that. And it was unbelievably eerie that day. Yeah. The sky was totally overcast, but the smoke from a freak fire up north had turned everything a really strange orange color. It was dead quiet. The animals didn't know if they should be awake or asleep. Something about the light just made the shadows look wrong, too. Like, they weren't in the right places. Probably like a trick of the light, but it was very disorienting. By pure luck, I found her tucked into a tiny little crevice at the foot of a big boulder. Got her out, and it was almost like she'd been drugged. She was missing her shoes and coat, but she was warm, almost hot to the touch. I got her back down to the lodge safe, and they took her to be examined, and there wasn't anything in her system, and she hadn't been harmed. Oddly, though, she appeared to be suffering from severe dehydration. She lost almost 3 pounds. She'd only been gone for a few hours. None of it made sense. It was so bizarre that everything basically got swept under the rug in favor of cheerful stories of her return. I reconnected with John a few weeks later, like, you know, just to see how she was doing. The first night back, he said, she woke up shrieking in the middle of the night, and he couldn't comfort her. She kept saying that she didn't want to go back to the orange place. We got her to sleep. By the next morning, not only did she have no memory of the dream, she had no memory of the event at all. He politely asked that I not call again, and I obliged. I don't know. I do think about her a lot. And I wonder if she remembers now. My boss woke me up in the middle of the night one summer, and he had me run out into a campground at the edge of the park. He said a woman had called him absolutely frantic, insisting that there was some kind of large animal outside her tent. And the cops were on their way, but I'd get there faster. So I grabbed my personal gun, I headed out to see what was going on. She'd set up camp in a pretty isolated area. So I had to park the truck and walk a way out to her. Well, on the way there, there's the smell that starts becoming very noticeable. And then almost suffocating, and it was something very primal. It's a musky and angry smell. It set my teeth on edge, and I had my gun already, so nothing in the forest was moving, so whatever it was predatory. We didn't have bears up here, okay, so there was no fear there, but that's not to say one couldn't have somehow wandered down from up north. As I got closer to her tent, I could see how badly this thing had torn up her camp. Her stove had been thrown up into the trees, almost 20 feet high. The fire had been stomped out. The coals were scattered. One side of her tent was shoved in, and I could see the outline of her inside. I called out, and as I did, something on the other side of the tent moved. I froze, gun cocked. In the weak light coming from her tent, all I could make out was a huge, bulky shape and two tiny white pinpoints where no head should have been. She started to come out of her tent, and I told her to stop. The thing made this loud chuffing sound and suddenly seemed to dissolve and melt into the ground. I fired a round into the trees where it had been, but it was gone. I examined the ground. The only trace of it was slight singeing in the dirt. Well, it's not the first time I've seen that thing, but it's the closest that I've ever been. Never want to be. I saw it the first time outside of my house, in the middle of summer. It was very late. Couldn't sleep. I was thinking about a little boy who'd gone missing, and we hadn't found anything except for his Power Rangers shoes. I was at my back door staring out over my backyard. I was exhausted. I was on the edge of passing out, but I felt guilty. I didn't deserve rest while the boy was out there. I was staring at nothing, but when something moved at the edge of the lawn, I noticed it. And I focused my eyes, and it looked like a very tall deer. I watched it closely. didn't move. I couldn't tell if it could see me, but I bent down to grab my binoculars for a better look. And when I looked up, it was pressed against the glass. It covered over 100 feet in less than 2 seconds. It was all black, covered in disgusting, rotten-looking fur, and in the middle of its chest were two tiny white eyes. It was looking right at me. It wanted me to open the door. It wanted me to come closer. I broke away and I ran into the bedroom. I locked myself in the bathroom, a place where there's no windows. I heard it tapping on the glass until the sun came up. Sometimes it asked me, in my own voice, let it in. I didn't. Not that time, anyway.